Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
For the grace of God, bringing salvation to all men, has appeared, training us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age, awaiting the blessed hope, even the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a particular people as his unique possession, zealous of good works. This is Matt Miller, and Bill Lawson is with me for this delightful program on God's salvation. Bill, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks very much. Like you say, this is really a delightful program.
Bill, the actual title of today's program, which is Life Study of Titus Message 4, is Charging the Slaves to Behave Well in the Social System of Slavery. But I just told our listeners to stay tuned to a marvelous program about the economy of God's salvation. How do these two go together?
It's interesting, Matt, like you say, apparently we're talking about how these slaves, and of course they were genuine believers, but in the social system of that day, of Paul's day, they were bond slaves. They were not even servants. They had no rights whatsoever. Even their master could put them to death legally with no compunction or any kind of remorse.
Sure not like today.
No. So even though you have apparently a subject material of slaves, how should believing slaves live the Christian life during that time? Brother Lee brings out a marvelous summary of God's economy and his salvation that shows us how the slaves should really behave themselves in that kind of evil social system. It's marvelous.
I agree, Bill. I'm really looking forward to today's program. The first verses we're covering today are verses 9 and 10 in chapter 2 of Titus. Exhort slaves to be subject to their own masters in all things, to be well-pleasing, not contradicting, not pilfering, but showing all good faithfulness, that they may adorn the teaching of our Savior God in all things. Let's join Witness Lee.
In chapter 1 of this book, Paul touched mainly the church life in 2 main points. Number 1, the church government. Then number 2, the church's teaching. Then with us, the believers, we still have the human life, the family life. So in the first part of chapter 2, he deals with this human life for a strong and bright testimony of Jesus. We surely need to have the top human life, a life not only by the life created by God, but also even by the divine life given by God to us. Okay, after Paul takes care of the church, of the family life, still another 2 things among the human race. That is the existing social system and the government. Paul, as an appointed teacher by God, was very clear according to his spiritual insight, not to touch any existing social system. When you go to touch it, you would give people the wrong impression that you are a social worker. You are not a herald of the good news, and you are not a teacher of God's economy. You are a social reformer. So in order to take a clear standing that has nothing to do with any reformation of the social system, Paul didn't touch it. Rather, he gave strict instructions to both the slaves and the masters to behave in the highest standard of human character. That was the worst slavery system among human race. But even under that kind of unjust and fair slavery system, we Christians who have Jesus' life can live a high standard humanity. Then, what a high standard! What a testimony! Wasn't this God's wisdom? Hallelujah! Jesus' life can live out the highest human living under the worst social system.
What a testimony, Bill, that Christians, these slaves, could live by the Lord's highest life even in the worst social system. I really appreciated this focus on the Apostle Paul, that he would not try to change the social system of slavery during his time, but he would speak to those slaves who were believers and also speak to the masters who were believers and tell them, you need to be so in Christ and live by the highest life. Amazing, isn't it?
Really amazing. Witness Lee here presents a very clear word concerning how we should live according to the very social system in which we are. In those days, it was quite something of slavery. We realize that. Today, it's hard for us to realize that, Matt, because we don't live in that kind of system. Here in the United States, we have so many freedoms guaranteed to us. But in those days, the slaves did not have those kind of freedoms, so they were absolutely subject to their masters. Yet, Paul here is charging these slaves who are under the masters to live a kind of life, even as a slave, according to God's high standard. And we would probably try to understand, how could they live such a life under those deplorable conditions? But here, by looking at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul introduces this sentence here with the preposition for, meaning he explains how the slaves could live in such a way. And he says, "For the grace of God bringing salvation to all men has appeared." So here, Paul is saying, the slaves, you can live such a high character, a high standard according to God's salvation by enjoying the grace of God, which is just God Himself as our portion, God as our life, God in Christ as our life and our life supply, being everything to them, having everything for them, doing everything for them, training them to deny ungodly lust and these kind of things. So by the slaves living by the grace of Christ, enjoying this rich, full salvation that God has unveiled to us, they can live a life of a slave in the worst of situations. It is a real testimony to the grace of God.
Bill, yesterday we covered the first 8 verses of this chapter where it talked about living the highest life in the family life with the wives, the husbands. And so you can see that this salvation that God brings us is very practical. It's something that needs to be not only in our homes, but it's also in our work environment. I remember reading these verses as a young believer who I had a job at the time working for someone, and I really felt like I was a slave. And maybe this is more what people can relate to in this country. Sometimes they feel like their job is a slavery. And I take this verse for me, that I would apply all these words to me, not pilfering, not contradicting, but showing all good faithfulness to adorn the teaching. And so that even in the way we work at our jobs, we can adorn the teaching of our Savior God in all things. But it's amazing. As good as you said, it was much worse than that at that time. And the Apostle Paul could charge those slaves. And Paul was not a social reformer. I'm touched by this also, because right. So many Christian teachers today are entering into that role of being a social reformer.
Right. In my, Matt, former occupation, I was a registered records administrator managing a medical record department in hospitals. And many times we had very difficult situations with the boss. So it is not that easy to live this kind of life, even in the condition we have today. But here is a condition of a master and a slave was much, much more difficult. Yet we, even as ones who may be in management or who have a regular job, not in management, we can still live this kind of life today. And our situation is much better than those situations at that time. So it is a real testimony that the life that we live as believers, we should adorn the teachings of God by the high standard of living that we have. And this is a real glory to the Lord. I remember just a few weeks ago, I was in Virginia there, the home of Thomas Jefferson, and he had slaves. And then I also went to Mount Vernon, where George Washington's home is. And in both those places, there were mentioned in the exhibits there that there was a lot of pilfering going on. Their own slaves stole from Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. Yet here, Paul is charging ones that the slaves should not pilfer, should not steal from their masters. So even this is such a common thing for the slaves to steal from their masters, yet if they would live by the very rich grace of God, they would not even get involved in pilfering. They would enjoy such a salvation of God that they would not do those things. It's a real testimony.
Well, Bill, we really need to go on, because the reason that Paul could make these exhortations to the slaves in verses 9 and 10 is because of the very wonderful, delightful portions of the economy of God's salvation that we're coming to in this next section. Let's go on to Witness Lee.
For the grace of God has appeared. Why we slaves should live such a higher human living, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God training us that we should live soberly. This is a sober mind. Soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. Soberly is regard to ourselves, righteously in regard to others, and godly in regard to God, training us that we should live so very righteously and godly in the present age. By what way? By denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Paul used only two words to signify the negative side, that is, ungodliness. Ungodliness is a kind of life that doesn't express God. And worldly lust, anything that connects you to the gravity of this earth, that attracts you to the earthly things, way should altogether abandon. Ungodliness, world lust, we should abandon, but we should live a life so sober to ourselves and so righteous to others and so godly to our God.
I think our listeners can really relate to the example that Witness Lee gave about the ungodliness and worldly lusts and the gravity that pulls down toward the earth, toward the ungodliness and worldly lust. Is that the main point here?
apparently you have these two not positive matters of ungodliness and worldly lust. And surely, like you say, Matt, they are like the law of gravity, an evil law of gravity that constantly pulls us away from God, away from God's purpose, bringing us into things that do not express God, bringing us into a lot of worldly lusts, especially believers. We're all the time plagued by the lust within us, right, to bring us away from the things of God, away from the Word of God, away from prayer, away from expressing God. But here, as you mentioned, the main point is not so much on the negative side of trying to fight against ungodliness and the lust within us. The main point here is positively God's grace, His salvation. By enjoying Christ, His salvation, His fullness, this life involved with His salvation, this divine life, the divine nature works within us, the believers, and it swallows up those ungodly things. It deals with all of that worldly lust within us, and it brings us into a glorious expression of God. It's wonderful. Of course, God's salvation here is not merely objective to forgive us, free us, you know, justify us, sanctify us, reconcile us to God. That's all on the judicial side. But His salvation is more on the organic side to regenerate our spirit, to begin to renew our mind, to sanctify us within, then to transform us, conform us, and even to glorify us. And this is by God's imparting His divine life and nature into us to bring us into an organic union with Him that we may express God, so that, in a sense, we're not trying to deal with the negative things. We're just enjoying the positive riches of grace, and these things in turn swallow up all this negative gravity that pulls us down.
Bill, I feel like we're hitting a real vein of gold here in this program, and I hate to go on, but we have to, or the radio station's going to cut us off before we finish. We've got to get to this last section. The last verse is chapter 2, verse 15. These things speak and exhort and convict with all authority. Let no one despise you. I really like this last verse because Paul says we need to speak these things. Here's Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
The grace of God, training us that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age by awaiting the blessed hope. What is our blessed hope, which we are awaiting? That is the appearing of the glory of Christ. Here it gives a wonderful title, so excellent, marvelous, to the Lord Jesus. The great God and our Savior. Amen. He is both our great God. Amen. And our Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. His appearing with glory is our hope. We are waiting this appearing. But whether you will be happy there, or you will be not happy there. It depends upon, right? You better read Matthew 25. All the servants at the Lord's appearing come to Him. The first two, they'll be very happy because the Lord said, good servant, come into my joy. Come to enjoy my joy. But the third one, he had very much vindication that he didn't do anything wrong. He kept the one talent. But the Lord rebuked slothful, evil servant. You go into the darkness. Will he be happy? Was he a false believer? You read it. How could a false believer receive the talent from the Lord? And how could a false believer be taken away to the air to meet the Lord at His judgment seat there? Impossible. Someday, when the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who will be the judge and the righteous judge in chapter 4, when the appearing of the glory of this great judge, all will hear a sobering word. But I like to hear the sobering word today.
Amen.
This ministry doesn't give you any sugar-coated teaching. Always gives you some sobering message.
Bill, the conclusion of the apostles' exhortation to the families, to the slaves, is the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't just have God's salvation, we have His appearing. And it's very sobering. Sure, not a sugar-coated message in this ministry, is it, Bill?
Right, in no way. On one hand, Matt, Brother Lee really brings out this glorious future that we're all waiting for, the very coming of Christ Himself in glory. And that's the real dream and hope of all genuine believers in Christ, that Christ Himself will come visibly. But on the other hand, when He comes, is not just a visible coming. He entered into us at our regeneration, and He's growing and maturing within us. And one day He will come, and in His appearing, He will change the body of our humiliation and even transfigure our physical body to bring it into His glory. And surely we are awaiting that day. But there is a sobering word here that Witness Lee brings out, is that if we in our Christian life, day by day, if we don't live in the Lord's appearing, if we don't live in His presence, if we don't deny the ungodliness and the worldly lusts, and we don't enjoy fully God's grace, then when the glorious appearing of the Lord comes, it won't be that glorious for us. It'll be glorious for some, but it may not be glorious for all of us, because as Witness Lee brings out soberly, some believers will enter into the bright glory of the Lord in the coming kingdom in a realm of glory, whereas other believers, because they have not lived according to God's grace in the age of the church today, when the Lord comes back, it will not be a pleasant situation, and they will be put into outer darkness. So as you say, Matt, this is not a sugar-coated word. It's a very sober word, but also it's a very encouraging word, encouraging us to live properly in the age of grace today.
Bill, I think if all the Christians on the earth would live soberly toward themselves, righteously toward others, and godly toward God, the world would be a different place to live in.
Right, absolutely, Matt.
It's a real motivating word for us all. Well, our time's up. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.